everyone, welcome to the Laura Horn Art Podcast. This week I have a fantastic guest. I'm chatting with abstract artist Betty Krause. Betty started painting when she turned 50 and has built up a thriving art business in a fairly short space of time. In this episode, she talks about how she did it, about deliberately removing distractions, hanging in there while you're finding your art style, and using platforms such as Instagram and YouTube to connect and grow your audience. Now, I just wanted to mention that towards the end of this episode, Betty talks about a live workshop called Paint with Betty. This workshop has since happened, but you can find out about future offerings if you head over to Betty's website, bettykrauseart.com/workshops. Now, there's just one more thing. This podcast episode is brought to you by my online class, Abstract Adventuring. If you've ever wanted to paint abstracts, this is a brilliant course to get you started. You'll learn about mixing your own colours, building up layers, using different types of compositions, making marks, and that tricky part of bringing it all together. And for the next month, you can save 20% on Abstract Adventuring using the coupon code JAN20. So that's JAN20. So to find the class, head on over to laurahornart.com/classes. The coupon expires on the 19th of February 2020. Well, that's more than enough from me. I know that you're waiting to hear from Betty, so let's get into the conversation. First of all, I just wanted to say thanks for joining me on the podcast. I'm looking forward to this chat.
Thank you for having me. This is great and I'm looking forward to it.
So I thought what we could do is go back a little bit, because I'd love to find out how you got into painting, but I also want to dive in deep with how you use Instagram and YouTube in your sort of art journey. So they're the kind of things I'd love to chat about, but I think it's always good to start from the beginning. So can you tell me, how did you get started painting?
Sure. So I got started kind of late in life, or what I consider to be a little late in life. And that is right around my 50th birthday, just before my 50th birthday. For a couple of years, I was making cards, kind of like, you know, birthday cards and different occasion cards, where I was stamping them, making them all nice and perfect, lining them up just right, spending hours on a card. And I really enjoyed that. I mean, I enjoyed that time to myself and being creative. And then somewhere just before my 50th birthday, I stumbled across mixed media on the internet. And I had that total falling in love feeling, madly in love, couldn't believe that what I was seeing on the screen, and thinking, I want to be creating that. That's what I want to be doing. And so began my journey of creating mixed media artwork for several years. And then I wanted to transition. I wanted to, for some reason, all of a sudden, abstract art really appealed to me. Mm. All those previous years, I really didn't care for it at all. But all of a sudden, I just loved it. In 2015, I decided I wanted to be an abstract artist. So I ended up getting rid of all of my mixed media supplies because I didn't want to be distracted by it. And I wanted to just focus on creating abstract art, which I found out in the beginning wasn't easy to do at all. It was quite the journey to get to where I am today. I mean, it was a good journey. It was challenging at times, frustrating at times, very delightful at times too. I mean, I love creating, and I love having that time to myself to be creative. And so here I am today, you know, creating in a style that I finally discovered, or it finally discovered me, early last year. And so it's been such a pleasure to be creating in that particular way.
So what kind of, when you started, like what kind of mixed media art were you doing in the beginning?
Yeah, in the beginning I was stamping and stenciling and adding layers of paint, mark making, collaging. So I was kind of really anything I can get my hands on that I could try. I bought it and I tried it. Now, did I use all of it, all the supplies that I bought? I did not end up using all of them. I ended up finding the ones that I really liked a lot, and I would use those. So, like a lot of artists out there, I had heaps and heaps of art supplies all over the place. But it's part of the journey. It's part of the exploration of trying everything and figuring out what resonates with you, what makes you happy, what brings you joy. And some of the things that I do today are the things that I was doing early on, even during the time I was making cards, which was the layering. I absolutely love layering. So one thing on top of another, on top of another, where bits and pieces are peeking through and you kind of get a glimpse of what may have been back there. So I've continued to do that part of it, and that's something that I discovered over the years that I truly love to do.
So you started with a mixed media style, but then you made a very deliberate decision. Like you mentioned that you decided that you wanted to be an abstract artist, and then you got rid of a whole lot of things. So did it happen in that deliberate way?
It did. I was very conscious about it. I'm trying to think back, why did I make that decision? And really, it only comes down to I wanted to be focused on creating abstract art, which I knew was something that was going to be challenging for me. And I also knew that by having my mixed media supplies in view, surrounded by it, that I would be distracted and I would fall back on what was comfortable to me and what I knew so well. And in order for me to grow the way I really wanted to, I knew I had to say goodbye to all that stuff.
So you packed up that stuff, put it away, and what did you invite into your space in order to help you on this next phase of your journey? So what kind of suppliers and things like that did you decide that you would use?
Yeah, so some of the supplies I was able to keep, and mainly that was the paints. So the paints, the canvases, the paper, the mark making tools, those are things that I did keep because those were the things that I wanted to be using while I created my abstract art.
Because I always think it's a really good process to go through, like editing down your supplies, especially after you've been through that exploration phase and you've learned a lot. But then to actually go through it and pick out the things that you want to use and the things that you're enjoying and bringing you joy, and maybe limiting some of your options in order to find that focus, which sounds like that's what you did. And did that help you?
Yes, absolutely. It really did help. And it's funny, Laura, because at the same time, right about at that same time, I was going through this other phase in my personal life, which was minimalism and trying to remove clutter in my home, in my life. And I felt like that really carried over into my art supplies, where I could be just as joyful and happy with a minimal amount of art supplies as I was with being surrounded by, so much of it, so much to the point where I wasn't even using all of it. So those two kind of really came together for me where I was, spent and I ended up spending years really, and I still do it today. I'm still in that declutter mode of removing things from my life that create, to me, feels like it creates chaos and distractions and becomes overwhelming sometimes. So it's been a good journey both with my artwork and personally.
Can you tell me how you then went on to develop your abstract style of art?
Sure. So one thing that I recommend to artists who are just starting out is continue creating, exploring, trying different things, trying different types of artwork until you find something that really resonates with you. And so I just continued down that journey of, let me try this now, let me try that. And so I think all of those steps helped get me to where I am today. So really, they were the stepping stones of just getting to where I am today. Once I kind of started doing some of the things on a consistent basis, for example, I was maybe starting my pieces in a certain way, and I was doing that on a consistent basis because that felt comfortable to me and I was liking that. So I was starting to do things that were comfortable and a new kind of comfortable to me. Certainly not the old way of, the other types of creating that I did. When I went to Croatia last year, early in 2018, in the spring, to visit my parents, that was a time when all of the wildflowers were in bloom. And my mom and I would go for walks through the village, and we would pick bouquets of flowers. She just loved creating these little bouquets as we walked through, and we had these all over the house. And I brought my art supplies with me, and I remember sitting outside. I was out on the deck, and I said to myself, Betty, just create. Don't even think about stuff, just do. And that was when I started creating these pieces that are very similar to what I do today. And I think I just kind of gave myself permission to let go and to do what is going to just come out of me and see where that goes. And that was so huge. But at the moment, I didn't know that. I was just starting to create in a slightly different way than I had been creating. And it wasn't until it was a week or two later that I looked back and said, "Oh, I think these are the flowers that we're picking. These are the fields of flowers I'm seeing that we're picking and bringing home. I think that's what I am subconsciously drawing or painting." So it was very exciting for me. And really, it wasn't until months later that I could look back and say, yes, that's definitely when my style changed. When I found it, it found me. We found each other, and we've been on this journey together since then.
It's exciting when you have that kind of realization, isn't it? Like, this is it. I've made the connection. I can sort of feel what this is all about.
Yes. And and what was so frustrating all those previous years, even though I continued to explore and create and do whatever my heart desired at the time or what I thought I wanted to be doing, it was frustrating not being able to figure out what my style was. And I know a lot of artists go through that period of time where they're trying to figure that out. What is it that they truly love? What is it that they want to express? And I have to say, you've got to hang in there. You've got to just stay on that journey and trust that you are going to get there, and it's going to find you, and you will find it, and it's going to be exciting when it happens.
Did you find yourself, when you were exploring, did you find that you were getting sort of pulled in different directions and struggling to kind of figure out where to linger?
Yes, definitely. There's a lot of distraction that happens with social media where you're looking at other artists and you're saying, I remember saying, "Oh, I want to try something like that," or "I really like that. I should try something like that." It was distracting, it was frustrating at times, but I still put my head down, put my blinders on, and just created something, anything. And I think that was the key, is that I didn't give up on that. And somewhere inside of me, I just knew that if I kept going, that it would all come together for me, because I've been told that, and I've seen other people do it. So I had to just believe in my own journey that that was going to eventually happen for me.
I mean, it's an underlying message that comes through in all of the conversations that I have on the podcast around that you've got to make the work, you've got to keep at it, you've got to do a lot of experimenting, and eventually you'll start to find those connections and there will be these moments of realization. But you've got to hang in there, as you said. So, I think that's
Yes.
definitely just a big part of it, is just to keep doing the work and also, to be, I think, accepting of that phase of discovery, a little kinder to ourselves as we're learning and trying different things, because we all go through it.
Yes, absolutely. I agree with you. We all go through it, and it's just part of the process.
Can I ask you, how much painting do you do? I love to get a bit of an insight into how artists, I guess, manage their time and, balance out painting with other parts of running an art business. So, can you tell us a little bit about the life of Betty?
Sure. I'll start by saying that I do not paint every day. Early on, I was told that you need to create every day to be an artist and to get good at what you're doing. You've got to create every day. And I would do that, and I would just kind of get frustrated, or I would not be very productive. I would just have days that didn't bring me joy. And so what I learned is that I don't have to paint every day. That doesn't work for me. It may work for some people. I know some folks have to paint every day or create every day, and that's great. That works for them. But what I've learned is that it doesn't work for me, and that's okay. I've got my own rhythm, my own schedule that works for me. And that really involves, there will be days that go by that I have not created anything. Actually, right now, I think it's been 4 days since I picked up a paintbrush. And that's okay, because when I am ready to go to the studio, then I am so ready to create that I have my most productive sessions when it kind of builds up in me and I'm kind of jonesing to get some paint on a canvas. So that seems to work the best for me. And I balance all of that with running a business. So more than 50% of my time is spent running the business side of being an artist.
So, can you talk about what the running the business side of an artist involves for you?
Sure. So a lot of times, a typical day for me would be in the morning. I get up and I get on my computer. I like staying in my pajamas for as long as I can, so I stretch that out as much as possible. So you'll find me at my desk in the mornings, probably till about noon or so. And I am working on my website. I'm working on email campaigns. I'm working on social media. I'm doing posts or I'm replying to posts and comments. I'm replying to emails. I'm setting up my workshop schedule for next year. I am mailing stuff out, like right now, my calendars. I'm getting orders almost every day on those, so I get those out the door. So it's a variety of tasks that are happening.
I'm glad that you're part of the pajama morning artist gang, because that's me too.
Yes.
My hubby takes the kids to school, so I don't have to get dressed. So I also start my day in a very similar way.
I love that. If we could just, do most of our day in our pajamas, that would be so awesome.
Kind of fortunate that I do the podcast interviews. We do them as audio calls rather than video, and that's mainly because of being in Australia and not having the best internet where I live, just to get the best quality of call. But it's also because sometimes I'm not really ready to face people.
Oh, I totally understand. I get that. So I was happy that you scheduled this for afternoon.
Yes. Anyway, continue on. I've interrupted you. Tell me more about what goes on for you in your days.
Yeah, so I was going to say, then in the afternoons, if I'm not running errands or doing something like that, I get to the studio and I put in several hours in the studio. And some days I don't get to the studio maybe till 4 or 5 o'clock, and then I just go, into the early evening. So my schedule's pretty flexible, but rarely will you find me at the studio in the morning hours because I just don't get in my car in my pajamas and go to the studio.
So your studio is away from your home, by the sounds of
It
it. You get in
is.
the car. So where do you head to, and how far away is it? Tell us more.
Yeah, so I moved back to California a little over 3 years ago, and my studio has been here out of a single car garage for the past 3+ years. And that has worked out beautifully because the commute is super short and so convenient. But I was outgrowing that space. So about a month and a half ago, I looked into renting out space, which I wasn't really excited about because I was concerned that maybe the commute would make it feel like a job and I would have to, deal with traffic getting there or having to work around other things. But really, quite the opposite is true. The studio is in downtown San Jose. It's an old warehouse, and there are over 100 studio spaces with artists.
That sounds amazing.
It's a big place, but it's funny, I don't see very many people at all. So it really works out nice because I was also worried about socializing too much and not getting enough art time in, but that's really not the issue. The space is great. It's double the space I have here. The commute is 20 minutes in traffic, so it's very doable. And what I discovered was when I'm there, I am truly there. I am in the moment. I am focused. I am enjoying the time that I have there, as opposed to when my studio was here out of my home, I was kind of always feeling pulled in to do laundry or start dinner or do some other chores. So it really did turn out to be a blessing to have a studio away from the home.
I'm glad this has come up actually as a topic because it's something that I've chatted about with other artists, and there's a real debate around the benefits of a studio at home to having something off-site. And I have my studio at home, which is working for me at the moment. I've got young kids and it kind of just makes it easier. But I do find what you mentioned, that I get distracted very easily by stuff that's going on. And even just like the marketing and the office work, it's easy for me to, switch into being on my computer because I think, oh, I'll just answer an email. And then I'm there all, for hours. So I'm imagining that at your studio, you don't do any of that other type of work. It's just art. Is that how it works out, or?
Yeah, I don't have the greatest internet access there, so I can't bring my laptop with me. If I need to do anything quickly, I do it just on my phone. So again, it really kind of is great because when I'm there, I'm doing art and not running the business. So yeah, that part of it has been wonderful.
Creates that separation. And you mentioned about the social side of things, because I've also thought about that, whether or not that would become distracting. Do you find it's just the right amount for you then, that you get to see people, but you can get into your work?
Yes. So what I found is that everyone, has different schedules. Some artists still work full time, so they're not necessarily there during the day. They might be there in the evenings or the weekends. I did find a artist just across the hall from me who is also an abstract artist, and we've become fast friends, and we enjoy visiting with each other for, short little periods of time just to take a little break and then get back to work. So that part has been really fabulous.
How has your work changed since you moved into a bigger space?
For one, I was able to do a commission that was 5 feet by 5 feet. So I was excited to have that space to really spread out and create that large. So that was great. And I think my artwork, I see a little bit of a shift in it, probably a bit subtle for everyone else, but I can feel the difference. And I just feel that I'm more in tune with the art that I'm creating. I feel like I'm more present. I feel like I've had the struggle where I create a lot of work on 9x12 paper, and I absolutely love those. And it's slightly a different style than trying to create that small and bringing it up to a large canvas has been such a challenge for me. So I have been finding that it hasn't been as challenging since I've made this move. And I don't know specifically what that shift was, but I feel like I've been able to translate more of those smaller pieces into larger pieces of art on canvas.
That's interesting because you seem to work on quite a lot of big canvases now, which is fantastic. I love to see the scale of your work. Did you start because you started with smaller pieces, didn't you?
I did, yes.
So do you have a preference? Do you enjoy working bigger or smaller
If you ask me when I'm in the middle of a really large one, I'll say I absolutely love working this
or
large one. And then if you ask me when I'm working on 9x12s, then I'll say I absolutely love working small on paper. So really, my love is in both areas.
Yeah. That's what I relate to that because that's what I'm like when I switch even like from different media. I'm all in on watercolor and then, I go onto a big canvas. I'm like, no, this is it. This is what I love. So
Right?
we're lucky like that
Yeah,
though, aren't we? We get to just
definitely.
follow our passion and enjoy it while we're in it. So I wanted to talk about Instagram and YouTube because you are active on both of those platforms, which is quite challenging to be on both and managing all that comes with that. And you've grown a really big following as well on both platforms. So let's talk about Instagram and how you got started with it, first of all.
Sure. So I feel like I got started on Instagram late, like I came to the game a bit late. I actually started it in March of 2016. So I've been on it for several years now. And I learned a lot in the process of you know, how to post, when to post, how to, you know, shake things up a bit. When they introduced stories, I started doing stories. When they added IGTV, I started doing IGTV. So I spent a lot of my time learning. And I guess that's one of the things that I absolutely love is doing research and learning new things on how to, you know, run my business, but also how to use Instagram or how to use YouTube or even Facebook.
So what role does Instagram play in your art business? Like, what does it do for you?
So for me, Instagram is a place where I can connect with so many other folks, and I'm able to share not just, you know, my completed pieces, but sharing everything that is happening in between that. So the beginning, you know, progress. What I love about Instagram stories is the ability to share more about my life that I don't put in my feed. So places that I'm going, food that I'm eating. So it gives people a chance to know a bit more about me other than, you know, this is the art that I create.
Yeah, it's a wonderful tool, isn't it, for enabling people to get to know you as an artist, especially when you're using all the features like you are in the different ways. That's wonderful. And it's so, so helpful. And people buy art because they not only connect with the art, but they connect with the person behind it. Have you found Instagram to be very powerful as far as the selling side of things for your art?
Yes, absolutely. You know, not in the beginning. You know, it took a while for me to, you know, maybe it would have been more so in the beginning if I had really good art like I'm creating today. But in the beginning, I was putting out there different types of art that I was creating. So it wasn't very consistent. And I can see now how important it is to be consistent, because if you're creating different types of art and you're putting, you know, one day you've got an image of more of a, let's say, a drawing, and then the next day you post an abstract because that day you felt like creating abstract art, what happens is you end up losing followers because one of them may have liked your sketches, but that same person doesn't necessarily like abstract. So then they end up not following you anymore. So being consistent in the type of work that you're posting is really key in helping to build a following of folks who want to get to know you and who want to see your art on a regular basis. And Instagram stories is really such a great place to connect with people at a deeper level, because like you said, they're not just buying your art, they're buying you. They want to know who you are. And with social media, you know, it's a whole different level of the way that we share our work, share about ourselves, and the way we sell our artwork. And if we're not sharing who we are and we're kind of hiding behind our artwork, then I don't think folks connect to you as well. And those folks who want to connect and who do connect with you want to also purchase your artwork.
So what are some of your favorite ways to use Instagram? Because it sounds like you're pretty on the ball as far as all the different kind of things you can do. So what are some of your favorite features?
Yeah, so some of my favorite features would be definitely Instagram stories. I almost love doing Instagram stories more than I like putting stuff in my feed, because it's just so fun and casual. And it's just a place where you don't have to be overly concerned about the way it's presented. You can have fun with it. Whereas in my feed, I try to be more careful about the way that I'm putting images out there. I certainly will never share what I'm eating in my feed, unless it's in a carousel for some reason. And carousel is where you can post multiple pictures in one post, so where they have to swipe to see all the other pictures. So definitely stories. IGTV is a lot of fun as well. A fun place to be able to have quick conversations about what you're working on, showing what you're doing. A couple of weeks ago, I talked about my favorite paints, which is Nova Color Paints. So I did an IGTV video on that and I posted that. I've also done like sped up videos of me working on larger pieces or smaller pieces so folks can see it kind of from start to end very quickly. So that's kind of fun to do as well. What I like about stories as well is that I can get in front of the camera and I can talk to the folks out there who are following me and talk to them about what I'm working on, what's going on in my studio that day, showing them my studio, showing them the art that I'm currently working on. So it's more, I feel like I'm connecting with folks a lot more that way.
So are you using an iPhone, or what's your setup for all of these things?
I am using my Android phone.
Okay, yeah, tripod or
Yes, so I have various sizes of tripods available. Tripods are my best friend. When you're in the studio by yourself, there's nobody to stop by and take a picture of you. So tripod helps for that, and then for also for video.
So you're also over on YouTube as well. So how did you decide to get into YouTube?
Funny that you should ask that because I actually got into YouTube way early on when I was doing mixed media artwork. So if you scroll to the bottom of all my videos, I think they start back before Instagram days. I think I was doing YouTube. So there's some old stuff on there, and I decided to keep it on there. There's mixed media stuff, art journaling, because I did some art journaling. I taught some art journaling as well. So I decided to keep those because there's still folks out there that enjoy that and who are kind of on that journey, and that seems to work for them.
So now, though, you're focusing in on your abstract painting and putting together videos that, really helpful, like give a lot of information about your process and things like that. So can you talk a bit about that?
Yeah, sure. So because I was doing the mixed media videos early on, I was learning to talk on video to show, to break down steps, to talk through the process. That's all a learning curve. And I became more and more comfortable the more I did it. So what I've been doing the last couple of years is showing the way that I create today and showing different, whether I'm working on paper or I'm working on a canvas. I've got a camera that I set up and I import that into a video editor and then I do all of my editing. Most of them I end up doing at twice the pace because some of my large pieces would take too long for me to try to leave it at just the normal rate. So, but it's still, it's not so fast that you can't see what I'm doing. And then I was really fortunate, early this year, I was approached by a local TV station, KCAT TV in Los Gatos, which is near me. And they wanted me to do a series for their TV, for their TV show. So doing a TV show, we did four episodes. I just uploaded the third episode last night to YouTube. To my channel.
Oh,
So,
brilliant. Gonna have to pop over and check it out.
yeah,
Yeah, so
absolutely.
how can people find you on YouTube? Just if they're listening, if they want to find you.
I try to keep all of it the same. So, Betty Krause Art.
Super simple, easy to find.
Yes.
So tell us more about the series that you've been putting, shooting and putting up.
Yeah, so we shot it all kind of during the late spring and summertime. And let me tell you, doing that was not easy. It was hard. It was hard work. We spent the first shoot we did for the first episode was 6 hours of, doing the taping, just going through the whole process from setup to tear down. and everything in between. And I learned a lot in that process. And I feel like we got better as a team with each time we got together to do another session, because I learned a little bit each time and got, you know, a little bit more comfortable. But I have to say that doing the YouTubes early on, you know, years ago, starting that long ago, I felt pretty comfortable getting in front of the camera and doing the talking, showing the process. There were times that it was a little awkward and uncomfortable to be able to talk and show what you're creating, create, and look at the camera. And yeah,
it's a lot to do all at once, isn't it?
It was. But but I have to tell you, you know, the gentlemen that were doing the videotaping and the directing of it were fabulous. They helped guide me every step of the way. They were great. They did an excellent job of doing the editing and putting it all together. So I am super pleased with this series. It's a series of four, and each one is under an hour, and I'll be adding the fourth one probably in a week or so. But it's been well received on YouTube, so I was very excited about that.
And what kind of things are you covering in those videos?
So I'm covering everything from talking about different types of paints that are out there. I had one of these sessions, I talked about color mixing and harmonizing of colors. I also do a painting in each session. Two of the sessions, actually, one of them, I start a large painting in one session and I finish it in the second session. But each one had kind of a educational piece to it in addition to me creating. So the viewers kind of get a little bit of both. They learn a little bit and then they can watch me go through my process as well.
So what's on the cards for you in the future then, as far as your Instagram, IGTV, or the sort of video component of what you do?
Yeah, so I'm kind of looking at doing more workshops. So this year was the first time that I've done group workshops, and those have been wonderful. So I've truly enjoyed that. And I'm going to continue that by traveling next year and going to various cities throughout the United States to teach. So I will be doing that in 2020. And in terms of Instagram, I'm excited to continue to post on a regular basis, use all of the features that they have available, continuing to connect to my audience that way. I know that a lot of folks get frustrated with Instagram's algorithms and things that change all the time. And I'd have to say it's going to continue to change all the time. So we just have to keep plugging away, keep doing what you're doing, and do your best each day and do some research. I think, you know, researching and understanding what works best is a way to not feel quite as frustrated and feel a little bit more in control.
Yeah, because you've grown your Instagram in a fairly short amount of time. So it goes to show what can happen when you really get to know the platform, like, and what it can do for you, and you use all those features, because I think that actually does make a difference.
Yes, I think it made a big difference when I was doing a lot of research. I was listening to what the experts were saying, you know, try this, try that, and I would try all those things and figure out, okay, well, this worked or this didn't work. You know, a great example is when I post a photo of me in the photo working on a painting, that gets out to a lot more people than if I just post a close-up.
Yeah, I found that too. I found close-ups don't tend to get as much traction as something that's got a little bit more activity, movement, or shows more of a piece, like a final piece or something like.
Or even if you're working small, putting your hand in there so that people can see, okay, well, now I understand, you know, how large that piece is, and I can see some of the supplies this person's using, and I'm very interested in that. And that'll draw people in more so than just doing a close up. But not to say that I don't do close ups. I do. I do a variety.
Yeah, variety is important too.
Yeah.
Yeah. Have you found that posting video has been quite impactful as far as your Instagram growth?
I believe that it has, yes. So I think it helps to, you know, I had a little jump in my followers, and I had to look back to see what happened during that time. And it was close to the time when I posted the IGTV video of me talking about the paints that I like to use. So I think that video, all the experts out there are saying video is still king and everyone loves it. So it's good to put that out there. I don't do it every day. I might get one in there once a week or once every 2 weeks.
Because there's quite a lot of work that goes into shooting a video, then, editing it, and it sounds like you're doing most of that yourself.
Yes, yes.
Do you find it quite time intensive?
It can be, but the great thing about IGTV is that you can just be casual and be yourself. If you make a mistake, that's okay. Just, correct it. Say the correct word you meant to say. Or it's not the type of video that is, it's not like you're going to the movies and you expect it to be perfect. It's real life videos of real people doing this real work, and that's what I love about it.
Yeah, and that opens up the door for everyone then, doesn't it? Like if you've got a phone, an iPhone, an Android phone, you can be on IGTV making videos fairly easily and connecting with your audience.
Absolutely. And so for IGTV, I don't do a whole lot of video editing. The beauty about IGTV is that recently they made some changes where you can upload a video in landscape mode that will allow you to show that video on IGTV, where before it always had to be in portrait.
Yeah, because that's one of the challenges when you're working across different platforms. When you've got YouTube, which is landscape, but then you want to put it on IGTV, but that's portrait. And that's where I've got a bit stuck when I haven't been very active on IGTV or even Instagram stories, because I shoot a lot of stuff in the horizontal format. But that's a cool feature now that you can put it up and then you just rotate your phone.
Put it up and it's going to be just a little bit smaller, but they can still see the whole thing. So now I'm starting to upload some of my older videos that were shot in landscape mode, and now I can put them on IGTV.
But isn't there oh, maybe it's not. Oh, I think it is IGTV. Isn't there a feature where you press like a little square or something and then you can watch it? Like if you turn your phone around to the horizontal, you can watch it so it's bigger.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, I think you can. Yep, you can flip it over.
Yes, because my husband showed me that recently. It's like you can put all your videos up now. People can watch them. So that's good. So you can go back to your archives and put old things up now on IGTV. And people can watch them, so you don't need to put them in the portrait format, which is helpful.
Yes, they're making it easier for people to be able to upload images or upload videos.
So it sounds like you're doing quite a bit of teaching now. So through sharing your process on YouTube, IGTV, and then also running in-person workshops, how are you finding balancing teaching with your own personal practice?
I am finding that I need to schedule it out accordingly. So I
Mm.
have to make sure that I have time for me to create on my own and create what I'd like to create in addition to doing the training. So kind of spreading out the training for next year so that they're not all back to back. It gives me a break in between. I also go to Croatia a couple of times a year, so I have to kind of work around that schedule so that I've got time with my parents when I'm visiting, and I also have time to create while I'm there. So that all works out. The other thing I'm kind of throwing into the mix, not that I don't have enough stuff to do, but I'm going to throw in one more thing, and that is I've been getting a lot of requests for folks wanting to do an online class with me because they can't come to my workshops, which is completely understandable, especially if they're overseas. And so in January, I'm going to be doing a 2-hour Paint with Betty online live workshop.
Oh,
And
fabulous.
so, yeah, I'm really excited about it. I'm working on all the details right now, so I'll be sending out an email to my list soon, and then also getting it out on social media and making that happen. So I'm excited about doing that.
Well, this podcast is actually going to come out in January. So it's going to come out in the new year. So we'll be able to hopefully attach some details for that onto this so that
Yes.
people will be able to join you for that. So that would be really cool. I'm really interested in these live formats. I think they're wonderful because, again, you have that very organic feel. And so will people be able to then interact with you as you're doing it?
Yes. So what I'm going to be doing is I will be creating, I'll be creating live, I'll be talking through my process, but I'll have someone helping me out where they can read the questions that are coming in so that I can answer those questions as I'm going.
Well, that sounds fabulous. Will you be working on a big canvas, or do you know yet?
Well, you know, I'm going to have 2 hours, and I know a lot of folks are going to want to see me want to see it from start to finish. So I'm thinking I'm going to work on paper up on the wall so that they can see me working, you know, on the wall. And I'm thinking maybe like a 16 by 20 inch size. I think I might be able to get through that in a 2 hour session.
Yeah, because you got to think about what you can do in 2 hours, don't you? And what's going to be the most helpful for people that they can then draw from that and apply it.
Right. So, and create something. Talk yes. and create at the same time.
Yes. That is challenging. I do that in my online classes rather than do a voiceover. And it's taken quite a long time to be able to do it and yes. get better at it. And you do over time get better at talking. When you start, it's quite hard because you haven't done it before. But I used to even like practice, so I wouldn't be filming, but I'd be in my studio talking to myself, just practicing how I would explain things as I go.
Oh, that's great. Yeah, that's a great way to do it and get comfortable, you know, talking through it.
And like you suggested, I think doing little things like the Instagram stories and the IGTV and all of that helps, doesn't it? Like it adds to it over time and you build confidence.
Hit it right on the head, which is it builds confidence. So the more you do it, the more comfortable you get. And then when you get to a point, if you should ever get to that point where you want to be teaching, it's going to flow a lot more easily for you.
Take little baby steps and kind of set yourself up down the track, because it's amazing where you get to eventually, isn't it?
Yes.
Like when you look back at humble beginnings.
Mm-hmm, absolutely.
It, you know, it just grows bit by bit. Well, Betty, thank you so much for joining me today and for chatting about so many different things. There's lots of tips in there as well around using social media and developing your style, and very much appreciated. And I know the audience is going to really enjoy getting to know you and your story better.
Thank you, Laura. Mm-hmm. It has been a pleasure talking with you.
Yes, absolutely. Thanks, Betty.
All right, take care.
Take care. Bye. Well, that's it for this week. I hope that you enjoyed hearing from Betty Krause. And don't forget to share the podcast. So tell your friends or take a screenshot of the episode and share it over on Instagram stories. And when you do that, make sure that you tag Betty in it. Her Instagram handle is Betty, B-E-T-T-Y, Krause, K-R-A-U-S-E, Art, A-R-T. So once again, thanks for tuning in, and I hope that you'll join us again next week. And also, I just wanted to remind you too that sale on Abstract Adventuring is happening now up until the 19th of February. So if you wanted to take that class with me, head on over to my website, laurahornart.com/classes. You'll find Abstract Adventuring over there, and the coupon is Jan20.